doing?
And a podcast.
Torch.
Wood.
Cast. Day four, more like day more drama. Hello. This is Pod Children of Earthcast, whatever it's going to be. Day four, broadcast on the 9th of July, 2009. July the 9th, be with you. Written by John Fay, who wrote episode two, or day two, rather. Directed by Joris Lynn. So the gist of this one, so we get like a quick like flashback to 1965 of the kids being handed over by Jack and Clem running away, and then back in the present, Clem shoots Jack, and then runs away when Jack revives. Meanwhile, the 4, 5, 6 is getting really, really, really annoyed. They make Frobisher send a guy in with a camera, and they capture what is maybe the most horrifying thing in Doctor Who history, and basically a child hooked up to the alien through tubes. And the 4, 5, 6 starts freaking out and basically tells everyone, oh, by the way, Frobisher told us not to tell you that we were here before. And all the UN nations are like, you guys have like really fucked up by not telling us this. The Prime Minister then is like, we're going to have a Cobra meeting, and we're going to bark up the 4, 5, 6. And then the camera pans like Nicholas Briggs in there, and it's really, really distracting, and it really takes me out of the scene. Frobisher kind of suggests they send like refugees. And then like the Cobra panel all start like kind of throwing out like really horrifying ideas of how many kids they could send. The aliens are like, we just want like a tenth. We want like 10% of what you have. So the Cobra group starts like throwing out, like, you know, basically going like a debate over like eugenics and stuff. And then they decide that they're going to send kids from like lower incomes and quote unquote like, you know, lower educational standards. Then Lois is like, PETA. She actually says, look, I've actually recorded all this meeting on my eye contact lenses. And we're going to blackmail you into letting Torchwood to deal with the 4, 5, 6. Although Gwen and Clem actually stay behind, while Jack and Yanto go in. The Black Ops leader like shows up, and Gwen's like, you want to watch this? And she presses play, and the Black Ops leader watches as the footage from the meeting plays out, and she kind of goes like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm not going to work with them. Jack tells the 4, 5, 6 basically to fuck off, and they're like, well, actually
he tries to pull a I'm the doctor, look my name up, and they're which like, well, is actually so fucking stupid. what a stupid decision.
They're like, well, actually what we're going to do is we're going to release a virus into the air, and it killed everyone in the building, including Jack and Ianto, but of course Ianto can't come back to life, so he dies for good. And the 4, 5, 6 is like, okay, look, you can do one fewer plot line here, and they kill Clem using a signal. And then Jack kind of dies knowing that Ianto has died too. Before we get into all the jokes, because there's obviously one thing we've already joked about.
Of course.
That image, that one shot of the kid, I think, is just like,
oh, terrifying.
It's terrifying.
It's awful.
It feels like the big mission statement. It feels like the big thing that you know, they were building towards in terms of like, you know, how far can we push this one idea. It is so scary. There's a thing on the TARDIS wiki. I think we talked recently about the TARDIS wiki, like editorializing stuff. Mm-hmm. There's the line on the TARDIS wiki in the summary for this episode is, and I quote, "The child's eyes widen in shock, possibly at seeing another human for the first time since the 1960s, which is like, that is quite like a horrifying image to have.
Jesus, man. Fuck. Who wrote the Stardust Wiki? What the fuck is wrong with you?
It's just,
I didn't think about that. Fuck.
Yeah. It's a horrifying thing to think about.
Why would you bring this up? I'm going to put a complaint in the discussion page right now.
It's just like, is this horrifying? It's just like a horrifying moment. Like a sickening moment. And it's just like, it's very hard to watch, but thankfully they iron it out by introducing Rick Yates, politician at large. Yeah.
Here we go. I have written so many Nick Briggs jokes. So he says, they say we should go to war, a war we can't win because we love stories. 32500 is the number of children that love stories. That's all I got, actually. I just want him to be like, we love stories. Like, just say it once, please.
It's just so funny he's the guy they cast to play who like, oh, honestly, his character
congratulations.
Is
awful. Congratulations. Yeah, I mean,
it's so nice to play a real monster. Yeah, yeah, it's nice to see him. He gets to play like an actual monster again. You know, because this guy is horrible. This guy is like the worst people on that panel.
It's so funny that there's one person who's like, guys, this is awful. And you're like, finally, somebody who's like saying what we're all thinking. And she goes, we should get just the poor kids. And you're like, what the fuck? We can't have a good... Nobody there is good.
I will say that Capaldi plays up like those scenes really, really well, where he's like clearly like, the Prime Minister's like, well, you have your 10%. Like, you can tell, like, his character does not want to, like, do that kind of shit. Even though he does suggest, like, you know, refugee kids, which is also quite fucked. Yes. But, like, you can tell that, like, he's really, like, having problems processing having to do that kind of thing. I really like that, like, it feels like they're fleshing out the world a lot. Like, the preamble and, like, the stuff with Jack. Like, it's giving Jack, like, depth that he's been missing for quite some time.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, you have the gray stuff was like an attempt that kind of, I think, backfired because, you know, it's so sudden to have like, oh, you have an evil secret brother who like is going to show up in the finale to fight you. Like, this feels like really good depth to give Jack. It's just like, I don't know how, I also like as well how like Gwen is like, immediately terrified of Jack after she finds out he did that. Like, you can see, like,
not just Miles, that, like, absolutely but rightfully gets shot in the face. It's really good. Like, they made the immortal character do it so they could get this, they shoot him. Mm-hmm. Also, I love that, like, when she sees the kid, Louis sees the kid, the image goes, is that from episode 3 or 4? Where she sees the kid, she cries, and the image gets fogged up.
Yeah, that's
very good way to like hide, not show more than what you need to show.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Again, I think like everything technical wise regarding the 4, 5, 6 is just tremendous. Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm gonna nitpick the shit, and I'm sorry. I am really sorry. How did the 4, 5, 6 release a virus? I just want a line, guys. Just tell me how they did that. Because it feels like a playground, kids play in the playground, like, I'm Captain Jack Harkness and I'm going to defeat you. Well, I release a virus and I lock the doors and everyone's going to die. You can be blah, blah, blah. Like, how do they do that? I just want them to be like, and I think the answer is when they built the thing, they probably like fucking connected it to the system and that's how they're doing it. Fine, that's great. Just fucking say that. I just want they to say it because I want to know how they're doing. Because it's such a like, it comes out of nowhere and it happens so fast. And at no point, it just was like something they would have a system for, right? Like if somebody threw a bomb inside MI5, it feels like they would have a system that wouldn't include everybody getting fucking locked inside and dying. It feels like the people in there would be more trained to do things more than just run away as far as possible. Like it just feels like we need something big to happen now to convey just how much of a threat the 456 are. And what if we just have them release a virus and kill everyone? It's like, if you do that, then like I have to know how they do it. I just want to know, because you are setting this in the real world. Like, this is supposed to be quote unquote real. So how are they doing it? Can you please just tell me how they do it? I just want to know. Honestly, that's really my big nitpick. I think at the start of the series, all the way up until the scene where they released the virus, their vagueness was scary, and then it turned into like, I don't know what we're fighting, and I don't know what the stakes or the solution. Like, I feel like by now, here's my big fear, and here's a big prediction, because there's one episode left. I think they're gonna pull out something out of their ass to kill the 456. It's gonna be something that barely works. In a narrative sense, it'll work because it'll kill them, but it'll be something that's like very jerry-rigged solution. Like, oh, the 456 said banana. That means they hate bananas, and then they shoot them with bananas, something like that, you know. And it feels to me like that's where it's going, because I could not for the life of me tell you what happened next. And I feel like by this point in the story, I kind of want to know a little bit about over this is going. Like, I want to have an idea. I want to be able to imagine what the next few steps are, and I just can't do it for like this whole plot line. I'm pretty sure the next episode is gonna start with them just like sending the kids fucking going turn left, then Jack is like banana and kills the 456. My other prediction is 456 are gonna kill everyone in that room except for Probusher. He's gonna survive, and then he's gonna go home, and like his wife and kids are gonna have left him. He didn't tell them the truth. The truth. That's like, oh, Pyrrhic victory. I also predict that. I also predict that, like, I think his daughter's gonna die. Jack's daughter's gonna die because of the fact that they keep cutting back to her, and she keeps talking about how, like, what do you think, I'm running away, blah blah blah, and it feels like she's going to die just protecting her grandson, and like it'll be the one person he failed to save, and Jack's gonna be like boohoo, I'm so sad. I don't mean to like diminish it, but that's kind of where I'm going anyway. It's I do want to say, like, it is a nitpick, and it is a nitpick because I feel like it could be solved with a couple of lines. I feel like one or two lines about this would have solved my nitpicks, but the fact that it isn't there does make me think. And I hate to harp on this point, and I think for you guys listening, it sucks because you've heard me talk about this yesterday. Why don't they fucking call the doctor? Just like, this is the moment where the unit guy goes, call the doctor. Like, this is the moment where John Pertwee shows up, is like, if I fix, I'm going to defeat you. Like, why are they not calling the doctor? I thought this would be the moment where they would do it, because I'm genuinely thinking they're not going to address it. I'm thinking, like, my hope is that we reach the end of episode 5 and Tennant walks in like, what the fuck just happened? And then Gwen goes, oh, right. Doctor, forgot about you. Oops. Anyway. That's just how I feel. Anyway, Nick Briggs is in this. Congratulations, Nick Briggs.
Yeah. He's in this. He also is in this. David Lloyd, and he dies.
Which I spent long yesterday reading an article about how people reacted after his death. And it is funny because I had to put myself in the mindset of 2009. Because a lot of people are like, give us one good gay relationship and then you kill them and blah, blah. And I'm like, what the fuck? This isn't the 8. And then, oh, it's 2009. These people are like starved for gay stories. And I got to be honest with you. It does really feel, after the episode ended, night, and I went to sleep, and I was sitting in bed, and I was getting ready. I did have a moment where I thought, like, why was Yanto there? Like, it does seem kind of poorly planned to go straight up to the evil alien if you can't, if you know you can die, you're not immortal. I don't know. It it's not it. I wouldn't put this as a full nitpick along the whole like why don't they call it the Doctor thing, but I would like be like I do get why people were mad about this. At the same time, I gotta be honest. Mm-hmm. I cared more when Toshiko and Yowen died. I just don't care that much for Yanto as a character. I think he's fun. I'm sad to see him go, but it's the kind of sadness that you have when like you're about to order something from Postmates and they tell you, oh, the restaurant just closed, and you go, oh darn. Oh well, it's something else. You know, that's just how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to say, go ahead. You first.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. It's a different thing. I just want to point out, I think it's really clever that they keep the whole real-time format going by having a day four be like past midnight. That's really clever, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing with Yanto dying is that, like, it does at times feel like they needed, like, you know, another big death to happen in this, and it was Yanto's turn. Especially with like them introducing his family, like you can kind of tell that maybe like, you know, like even beyond the whole like, you know, so he has a child attachment to his like niece and nephews. There's also like, you know, oh, what if he dies there? Like we already know that his family could be like pretty upset. His whole death, like I really don't know.
Yeah, I feel sad, but I'm also like, honestly, I kind of got bigger things to worry about right now. Like, how are they going mm-hmm. to fucking stop these aliens? But it is like a sad moment when Gwen goes to the thing, to the like, I don't know what you call that place where they put out the bodies, and she sees Jack and she's like, ah, he's gonna come back. And then she sees Yanto and she adjusts his tie, which I thought was like such a good little mm-hmm. moment. But other than that, I'm like, okay. R.I.P. Yanto. I do think it's so funny that like fucking the Doctor Who fans hijacked a real location to make a shrine to a fictional character that they had to put up a sign being like dedicated to Yanto Jones, who died defending the children of Earth. Asterisk, Yanto Jones is a fictional character.
And it stayed there for years as well. I think it actually still might be a thing that is there, like a heritage site. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Someone else who died, of course, is Clem.
Right. Bye.
No more sniffing.
Go away.
Yes. He'll sniff no more. Never again will anyone sniff. I really don't know how to feel about Clem either. I get why Clem was here, and I get the whole thing with Clem, but ultimately Clem kind of, I think, I don't know, like it just feels like so many of these characters are kind of here as a means to an end at times, which I mean, I understand that's basic fiction, but like, I don't know, it just keeps coming back to Rick Yates. I keep like every single point I have like kind of got wiped out when Rick Yates showed up and
Rick Yates. Yeah. Rick Yates. I want to know more about Rick Yates. What's his deal? Do you think he goes to the bathroom?
No, I think he expels all his waste out of his ears.
Oh yeah,
I think there's a deleted scene where it came like flying out of his ears.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the Rick Yates box that would probably sell like hotcakes. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone would be like, "I really want a Rick Yates box." The Prime Minister as well is so
yeah. I think when Lois was like, yeah. "Hey guys, I'm with Torchwood," you could see Rick Yates going, "Torchwood box set." He should have said, "We love stories." At some point.
Hmm. Rick Yates, for the love of stories. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to ask for your predictions, but you've already given your predictions. The 4, 5, 6 would be killed by bananas and whatnot. I have taken note of them, so tomorrow I will see where you landed on your predictions for day 5.
Do you want to repeat my predictions?
Well, your predictions were the 456 would be killed by someone by bananas. That Frobisher would go home and find out his family, Sans one daughter, because you said one daughter would die. That his other daughter and his wife would have left him, and he'd be like, "No, my kid, my wife and kid."
And then he'll be like, "There's nothing for me to do." But and then he picks up, his hand goes over to a gun and goes past the gun to a big finish box. Said, "I love stories. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rick Gates."
Mm-hmm. And then he turns around and says, "Don't forget to subscribe."
Forget to subscribe. You should have done that for Torchwood. Don't forget to subscribe to the Torchwood YouTube channel.
I'll have you know the Torchwood YouTube channel's outros are just the Torchwood theme over like a static image. I've checked in the past. But yeah, so like, yeah, I don't know. The guy that we've kind of overlooked as well, and it's because he's not really showing up that much, is Decker.
He survived.
The technician guy who's like, yeah, he put on his suit. He put the suit on. He said, "Look, you know what? I'm surviving here. I'm surviving here." He's just there, I guess. Ultimately, he's just there. I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is that tomorrow.
There's one thing I always meant to ask Jack. Back in the old days, I wanted to know about that doctor of his. The man who appears out of nowhere and saves the world, except sometimes he doesn't. All those times in history when there was no sign of him, I wanted to know why not. But I don't need to ask anymore. I know the answer now. Sometimes the doctor must look at this planet and turn away in shame. I'm recording this in case anyone ever finds it, so you can see. You can see how the world ended.
Tomorrow is the end of it all, so we're not going to do a wrap-up. We're going to bring the wrap-up into tomorrow. We'll just talk, because we kind of realize that like you can't really rank days of the week. Although maybe you can. You know, I'm partial to a Friday myself, you know. But yeah. 456, come on and get your kicks. Goodbye. And all that jazz. I don't know.